does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow,
good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning, September 23rd. Boy, every time I look at the calendar, it just moves further and further down the line. But good morning and welcome. And Tim, good morning. Good to have you back.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. And Brother Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And trying to keep my volume up there, and I don't know if I didn't hear anybody else come on, but if they did, just chime right in. And Remnant, good morning. Hope you're having. We've had some weather this week. We were talking with Brother Tim before the program about it, and we're under a high wind warning. But it's a beautiful day this morning. Blue skies, little white clouds out there, and just getting a good sunrise here at the Radio Ranch. What a beautiful fall morning. But we're going to open up in prayer. Tim, would you do the honors and open us up in prayer this morning?
Thank you. Yes, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, and we first of all ask for your patience toward us and your mercy and your grace upon your people, Lord. We pray, secondly, Lord, that you would just bless this broadcast, make it a blessing to wherever it goes, whoever hears it, Lord, whatever they need to receive from it, I pray that your spirit would move accordingly and that it would just enhance, strengthen it, and that the spirit would move through it and speak through it, Lord, that it might be a help and just in these times, Lord, that you would remember your people. In the midst of their adversity, that you would protect and keep them. Oh God, I just pray for each person that puts the time and the effort into your kingdom, Lord, that they would receive according to what you schedule, Lord. Lord, we know that you are a great bookkeeper. Lord, I just ask that you would watch over your people, protect us. We thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And if you'd like to give a call. Let's see, got a couple of things. One of the things that has kind of popped up in my news feeds the last few days are the ongoing and continuing invasion that's going on at the southern border. Eagle Pass, Texas seems to have jumped in the news here lately. They apprehended 2,000 immigrants a day is kind of what they're doing. Saw here they've already got about 20,000 already there, and they're just putting them everywhere they can. They've got 3,400 in a facility that's designed for less than 1,900. And so just that one facility for, 20%, not even 15, 20% of the illegals that they've gotten in there, is at over double capacity. Some of the numbers, 7,000 illegals apprehended in the last 3 days. 3 days. And they say there's 3,000 more just at the border, just waiting to cross as soon as they have somewhere to go. If you've been watching, you've seen they've been advertising this this huge freight train that is just full of people heading across Mexico, headed for their northern border, our southern border, along the same places. And so it just continues. We've talked about it, you know, but if it's not in your neighborhood, it's hard to comprehend it. If it's not in your town, if it's not in your town of, say, 10,000 people, that all of a sudden overnight your population doubled. And now there's, your 10,000 residents, the citizens there, but now there's 10,000 visitors that don't speak the language, that half of them don't maybe understand indoor plumbing. And then the next day, there's another 3,000 or 4,000. And the next day, another 3,000 or 4,000. And you can't go to the grocery store without having them panhandle and make you feel unsafe. And they're in the parks, and they're on the side of the roads, and you're just overwhelmed. And we haven't had that. We don't have that here in Laramie. We go down to Denver. We've seen tent cities in the Denver area, but nothing like what they're experiencing on the border. They are just absolutely being invaded. And for the most part, the media, the majority of the media, is silent about it. You know, they just want to talk about how, Robert De Niro, this actor, he's doing a new part here, and these two queers over here are doing that. That's what they want to talk about. When the nation is just, granting amnesty to Venezuelans, 470,000 Venezuelans that are here, 500,000 people, giving amnesty cards for $2,200 a month. Is it me? Am I the one thinking that this is crazy? Or am I the one that's crazy thinking that this is, with other people thinking that this is normal? I mean, it's just unsustainable. But it just continues on. Thoughts, comments?
Go ahead, Paul. I don't know what to say because, I would have to say, it's a curse from God, actually.
Absolutely.
He says a stranger will reward you. And this is what's happened in our lawlessness. Our courts have been shot for years. And our lawlessness, so we're reaping what we sow. And, God is actually sending these people here, in my opinion. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but we are helpless at this moment. And then he said when we were in that condition, he would redeem us. And I think that's coming because, the American people got to repent is what will change this whole thing. Then God will clean house. But this is what people have to go through. It's a huge price to pay to reject God. He will not be mocked. And then he says, I won't hear your prayers, if you don't keep my law. America needs to repent, and then everything changes. We're in a helpless state, and it's getting worse by the day. Because there is no way. Now, who's feeding these people? You can't bring that meat. You go a day or two, you're going to pass out for lack of food.
Right.
But somebody's feeding these people. I don't know if they're going into these feedlots and eating the corn silage or something, but somebody's feeding these people doing it. You go back to Pastor Peter's exoteric messages, and you know, when Biden, he's talking to his people. You know, we think, yeah, he's talking to us, but no, he's talking to his people, and he's happy with what's happening. And, of course, the other people are not. So, but, yeah, that's what I think is going on. You know, we have to we need to repent and turn back to God, because we, you know, even on a personal level, sometimes we think God should do some this way and that way, you know, and then it may be right, but he's doing it as his way. And he will continue to do that. And there's going to be a time when it takes us 7 months to bury the dead. So I don't think it's too far away. Hope I'm wrong, but yeah. I don't think I am.
Right. And I don't mean to throw it out there without a solution. And Tim, I'll give it to you here. Read Joel, the book of Joel. I think it aptly describes it. Tim?
Well, and I agree with Paul. I just was talking, as a matter of fact, to someone the other day, and they're like, well, this could go on like this for another 200 years. And I said, really? You think so? I said, yeah, you better hope it doesn't. I said, there isn't anything left now. You know, the land has been, you know, you look around you and see that it says that, I just seen an article go by the other day that said the average American out there right now can't even come up with $1,000
right
for a crisis. You know, if they need to come up with that. That we have a home ownership is almost non-existent, because, you know, if you actually take home ownership, that means you own your home, not that you're financed or that, yeah, you have a lot of these things going on in the land. We have babies being murdered and sold, and children being sold and transported, and we have the other one that gets me is the DNA swapping that's going on, the stuff where they're playing God and trying to take his domain. God just doesn't deal with that. I mean, he just doesn't. I know I don't count. I'm not trying to set a date. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible also talks about the fact that you can look to the west and see a storm coming in, but you're not smart enough to figure out that there's a storm coming.
That's right.
In regards to what's happening. God says that he's going to teach his people to a battle again and everything, because they've gone, you know, they beat the weapons into plowshares, and he talks about the fact that he will have war with Amalek for forever, you know, until the end of it. And these things are all around us if you just have eyes to see, if you see what's going on. And he's definitely stirring up his people. He's definitely there's and. Part of stirring up is bringing about a change in them through discipline or through whatever. I mean, it can be it can take many forms. It can take financial forms. It can take spiritual forms. It can take, and I think that we're seeing this all around. When you see these things, you know, this border hopping illegal aliens. They're not immigrants. They're illegal aliens. They're
invaders.
That is. Yeah, they are invading us. That's a form of warfare, you know. And I think that what we see there is, as we look at all this, is people don't even hardly recognize it as such. It's like, no, this is war. I think what we're in right now is a deep breath before there's an aware. I think there's an awareness coming for some, not for all, but for some. And you know, what's going to come out of that? Is going to be something interesting to see. I mean, there's just people
right.
There's people out there who are drawing closer to their God, and their God's drawing closer to them. And there's some of them that they're not interested. They're going to go by the wayside. They're going to be. But if all you have, I mean, I see the groaning and the. You know, suffering spiritually that some of these folks are going through. They're like, wow, this is just, it's just wrong. You know, they don't, some of them don't even know what's wrong. They just know that that's not the way God wants things, you know. So
right.
when we see that kind of stuff, why, it sure makes you want to point in the right direction, help them get there. And like Paul says, yeah, we need to pray for some forgiveness. Not only on a national scale, but also on an individual scale, because none of us are, you know, all of us, not just not just you guys, but we've all made some errors, mistakes in judgment.
Sure.
Haven't done.
And that's where it starts.
You know,
that's where it starts. And I like what I wrote it down in awareness. I want to come back to that. We got a caller. Let's see if we can get the caller on. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I haven't called in for a while. Actually, for a while, I couldn't even listen, but I've been tuned in for the last couple of weeks. But I'm the one that moved from South Dakota to Washington here. But what catches my attention here is over and over again, there's a repetitive cycle of God rescuing his people, turning to sin, and then he turns them over to their sin. Basically, until they've had enough of it, and they cry out to him again and repent. And we're about to the flip side of that cycle where people are waking up and crying out to God and bringing it around. It's a shame that how deceptive the devil works to subtly lead us.
Absolutely.
To be conformed to what seems easy and build our fat bank accounts, but destroys us. When you apply godly principles and learn how to stay free from the devil attacking you, it takes the hard work to receive the joy and pleasure of God's blessing. But when you don't do the hard work, you and go for the pleasure first, you not only get deceived to think you're really serving God, but you got a bad lesson coming towards you that you're not going to like. It's like pleasure begets pain, but you go through the right form of pain, you will beget the pleasure that God has for you. And people just don't wake up to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brother Floyd, right?
Yes, that's my name. I didn't say it, but you remember.
That's right, Floyd. Yep. Yes, sir. Well, hey, thanks for the comment.
By the way, you have an echo. You have an echo. Yep. There needs to be an adjustment made.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right. I'll yield.
All right. Thank you, brother. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Pinocchio, the old Pinocchio movie, Pastor brought that out, right? Pleasure Island. Yeah, hey boys, just sign right up here. Come on, we'll take you to Pleasure Island, and where you all turn into jackasses, and that's what it is. You know, Remnant, I encourage you. We mentioned reading Joel. Take a look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 is called the Song of Moses, and I think it makes mention of that even later in Revelation about they sang the song, but. When you read through it, it's the blessings. The first 14 verses, very similar to Deuteronomy 28, not Deuteronomy 28. What am I thinking here? Anyway, Deuteronomy 32, the Song of Moses. First 14 verses are the blessings that God has poured out upon us. And then verse 15, he says, but Jeshurun, which means Israel, that's another name for Israel, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God, who made him, and scorned the rock of his salvation. And I think that's what's happened. It tells us right there, that's where we are. And that's what's happened. We've grown, and what do we call fat and happy? Right? Oh, we're fat and happy. It's just not everybody's real happy anymore with where things are. But it points it out, you know, that is what's happened. And I think that's what we're hearing is that, yeah, God has his blessings on his people. And we've seen it going around in the secular world we've talked about it a little bit. How's it go, right? The good times produce weak men, and weak men then have to produce hard times, and hard times produce strong men, and strong men produce good times, and good times produce weak men. And then there's that rotation again. And it is a cycle. I see the phone line ringing. Let's try the phone line again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Tim calling from Wisconsin.
Good morning, Tim.
Hi. I just got to bring this up. Do you remember when Pastor Peters was talking about the RU486 abortion drug and how they how that was kind of like in your face kind of thing, you know, RU486? Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the name of the new variant is BA286.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, it's only been a few days, but maybe just yesterday, you know. And anyway, it's BA286. So I think these people are just like, they can't help it. They got to spill the beans, you know. They got to tell us what they're, you know, what they want for us, or something like that, right? It's just and they. You know, I mean, can you imagine that, you know, if the supposedly thousands of samples or whatever, and the code, you know, that the new variant is a BA286.
Sure.
Right? It's just, anyway, I guess they can't help but revealing themselves and their intentions, and I think to some extent that's our strength, because they're just coming right out with it and saying, you know, we're going to kill you. You know, it's really what they're saying, I believe.
Well, that's what they want to do. Right. Yeah. Tim, sure appreciate the call. That's what they want to do. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. And as the age comes to an end, it's just becoming more and more evident, and they can't help it. Brother, thank you for the call. Have a great day. Tim, there in Nebraska, you had something?
Are you 486 and BA 286 sounds like back 286, you know, I mean,
right.
I understand a little bit what he was thinking. It seems like I might have seen that, but I hadn't really put much thought into it, except that I agree with you. The terrorists continue to stick their heads out further and further, which is a blessing, really. I think a lot of times when we look at that, what we're talking about this morning, it always takes me back to, you know, Hebrews, 5:12, where, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the actual words of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unacquainted with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil. And, you know, that was 12 through 14, but the thing about the distinguishing between good and evil I liked was practice. We have to practice that all the time. You know, if you don't practice... if you don't practice anything, you get less good at it. You know, I mean, it's just,
right.
It requires, there's a lot of times there's an easier way to do things, but I do it this way. And I've had people say, well, why do you do it like that? It's like, because if I have to, I'm in practice. You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's the way those things work. And we've all been there where you're talking to somebody and it's like, oh my, I can remember talking to one of my new son-in-laws, and I was like, learning curve is steep, you know, I mean, you've got a ways to go, so you're gonna have to really work at it. And he was You know, and he has come such a long ways in such a short time. I'm just really proud of him. But it's like when you see those sort of things, you, you're like, well, there's somebody who's scrambling, who's practicing, who's partaking of something more and wants more. And but you know, isn't that interesting when you see those kind of things go on?
Yes, agreed. And I think more and more people are seeing that for what that is. Sometimes you still see some of these Judeo-Christians that look at it that, oh, well, if you've got adversity in your life, you must be sinning. That's God punishing you. And that's I don't think that's an accurate teaching of when we see that. But I think we see more and more people coming to, like you said earlier, Tim, an awareness that they may not know what's wrong, but they know something's wrong. They know that it ain't supposed to be this way. They know that the homosexuals can't reproduce. They know that you know, the economy is worse and worse. That things are bad. And they just don't know. I think they haven't been taught who they are. They haven't been taught the properly who Jesus Christ is. They have this picture in their mind of this false Jesus, this dope smoking, long haired hippie, sandal wearing, love Jesus, and that's just not the complete man, the complete person of who Jesus Christ is. And you know, more and more people are being aware. We mentioned it was brought up a while back. Is it Anthony Oliver, this bearded redheaded singer that came out of nowhere? That's kind of taken the you know, his song "Rich Men North of Richmond" has kind of resonated with people, and he was on did an interview with Joe Rogan here a few weeks ago. And and I saw parts of it, but you know what he did was he pulled his Bible out and he's reading from Proverbs. And so the thought occurred to me, and I think Paul and I talked about this a little bit, that here you've got, you know, people that probably have tuned in to Joe Rogan's interview. You know, you might not see them in church on Sunday, and they might not, I don't know, but they might not be the most avid Bible students, okay, right? Maybe I'm wrong, but you had a group of people that were exposed to the Scriptures, and it wasn't John 3:16. It was good wisdom, teach your children these things, and do this in reading there out of Proverbs. And see, that's an increased, like you said, Tim, another awareness. I think that has planted seeds in people, not in everybody, but in some, as to, hey, here's a solution. Maybe there's an answer here, and it's a seed planted. And we're seeing, I think, that more and more people that have gathered not to hear the gospel preached, but that's what they hear. They hear the Scriptures read. You know, whether it's at a concert, whether it's a Joe Rogan blog that they've tuned into, or whatever. You know, in the NFL, it's been coming up more and more. Not that I follow it a lot. I've had some emails sent to me, but a guy on the New Orleans Saints. I don't even know what his name is. Davis, the Marion Davis or something. I don't know. You know, pretty big football guy, all pro and all kind of stuff. Star linebacker, and said the last 2 weeks after the games, his interview has been he's talking from Revelation. Hey, I stand at the door, knock, and giving credit to God. And proclaiming One of the things here, he says he asked Christians to proclaim God's words everywhere. He says, share the gospel in our schools. This was a live interview with him. He says, our schools need God. Share the gospel in our courtrooms. Our courtrooms need God. Share the gospel in our hospitals. Our hospitals need God. Share the gospel. Preach the gospel. It is the power of God that will bring salvation. And then that was this first week. And then this past week, he said that, hey, my message last week resonated because, quote, people are looking for salvation. Now this guy didn't say this at his church on Sunday after the game or before the game. This was a live interview. And there again, I think the people that tune in, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the people that, it's a different group of people that tune in to NFL interviews with New Orleans Saints. Just a little different than, you know, if you were had a gathering of people at a church on Sunday morning, being exposed to different people. And then even there in college football, Deion Sanders, I just know the name because he used to be a famous football guy, and now he's coaching down in Colorado. And first couple games, I think they've done quite well, and he's been somewhat controversial. But just this past, he's the coach down at, I think, whatever it is, UC or UNC, something down in Colorado. But saw a blurb that he had put that out. Hey, media, get used to it. I am proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm doing it at every game. And so, again, it's being exposed. I just bring these up. I'm seeing them as that. There's an awareness that's increasing. Like you said, Tim, you had a great summary, I think, in that two-word statement, that people are seeing that there's a problem,
right,
and they're turning. They're turning
right. You know, I went and seen that movie Freedom yesterday. It's the most disgusting movie I've ever seen. But you know, the time is right. He made that movie 5 years ago, and finally, it's coming out. And things are changing. People are, you know, I had a man from a power company. I mean, he seemed a little strange at first, but before he left, he wanted to know if I knew Jesus. He says, "That's our job." You know, it's just. But the time is right.
Right.
You know, and I go to Traverse City quite a bit, and I stop at this restaurant with a bar, and I sit at the bar, and I've had more intelligent conversations sitting at that bar talking to people than I've ever really had in church. These people have been driven out of church over the years, and they said that, you know, they don't really know where they're going, but they knew it wasn't there. But these people are out there.
Yes.
They're out there, and we don't know who they are. But the time is right. Just like the conversation I have with that lady, you know, I ticked her off, but I'm telling you what, she changed her attitude. And, you know, you got to have enough gut to say the truth. And don't over just stand on one thing, you know. But most people in times past, they just got to run on and keep, you know. But you got to listen to people and leave what they want. And they want something. Look at the Bud Light business and all this stuff that's going on. It's just, the time is right. It's coming. Affairs are... They're getting very bold, but they're about to be cut off. You know, that redheaded guy, he read Psalm 37. And you know, that's about them being cut off. They hated it.
Yes.
But to see a guy like that, I mean, this is happening. I mean, you know, he wasn't looking for stardom at all. And he went, you know, he was offered big money, and he wouldn't take it, you know.
Yeah.
And he's just a genuine person. It ain't for sale. You know, the kingdom is not for sale.
That's right.
It's just like that at the end of that movie, that guy come on and talk. You know, he says, our children aren't for sale. You know, but that's the disgustingest movie I've ever seen, you know, as far as, but it's really good. People need to see it. How we've abandoned our children. You know, Pastor Peter said they're going, you know, the enemy owns the meat plants, and we're probably eating them in our hot dogs and stuff, and that's a real possibility. Because they're evil, they're cruel, they're mean. It's these little kids they take, and they just... You can only imagine the terror in their thing when they're snatched away from their family and stuff like that. And America's had his head right up his butt for a long time because we've been asleep. And this has all been going on. America's been destroyed. The manufacturing gone. Everything we get is coming out of China. The drugs are coming out of China. We have nothing. I mean, this whole infrastructure has been totally destroyed. And people have these small family business. They sell out to the big guys, and they're being consumed like a meat grinder. And then they wonder what's happening to us. But we've forgotten God. It's that simple. It's just that simple. I mean, the courts have been corrupt forever. If you had enough money, you buy your way out.
Yes.
You know, and if you didn't, they'd walk on you. So, yeah, the preachers are the most pathetic group in this world right now. If I was in one group of people I hate, it's preachers. You go read Jeremiah 23, you know, and he's going to do away with these people. They're praying. And Micah, too, I read about them. They're working for money, but they're not the problem. People like their ears tickled. That's what the problem is. Because you take a tree's health, you get a good root system, the tree will be fine. And if you do, people, the working class, you take parity as price, cost of production plus profit, and you give that to a farmer, and it flourishes. But you see, they ruin the root system. Then that's the productive. So all new money comes through agriculture, mining, or labor. And that's where all the new money comes in the thing. But they steal everything through the income tax and everything, and they're stealing it. And we're allowing it. Anything that is a service, the Internal Revenue Service, the Postal Service, everything that is a service is a private corporation. Anything that's an official government is an office. Well, the office has all been consumed by services. They've been stealing this country left and right. And the reason being, because we forgot our God. There's two things that are not in a free country, income tax and property tax. My property tax bill is not bad at all if I didn't have to pay for the school system. I mean, everything else is quite legitimate. But that school, that they are indoctrinating our people, is destroying us, and we're paying for it.
Yeah. Yep. And you talk to people. See, that's another great avenue to talk to people. Property taxes out here have tripled in 10 years. They have tripled. And in Colorado, it's... 6 years, and they tripled, and it's like that everywhere. And that's a good avenue, a good icebreaker, you might say, you know, a good questions to ask.
One of the founding fathers says the power to tax, the power to destroy. The Boston Tea Party was a fraction of a penny that they were taxing, but they could see if they did that, then it was downhill from there. And that's just how it works.
That's right.
We've gone downhill a long once.
It never stops. That's a fact.
That's right.
Well, and I think that one of the things we were talking about where people are and what they're doing, and I've always thought it was interesting that Christ in his later ministry, when he actually, you know, when he was young, he kind of went into the synagogues and talked to them and asked questions and stirred them up a little bit. But then later, he went out and taught on the hillsides, taught on the mountainsides, taught along the beach, and all these crowds of people showed up. Well, where'd they come from? They weren't that average Joe churchgoer,
right?
You know, that just went there to belong to the, you know, credit club, or to belong to the this group or that group. They were thinkers and movers, and they wanted to know what to do. I mean, so those people that were there weren't in those places. And I think that we're seeing that today when you were talking about people that listen to Joe Rogan or people that listen to, and I think that we see those people that go there, they're no less godly people or have godly thoughts.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't deal with what's being fed to them. And don't get me wrong, there's some churches out there. I mean, I think God puts us into some of those places to be a beacon, or to be a sign, or be that light on the hill. And there's people there that's just the best thing they can find right now. So they're trying to feed their soul, you know. And I think that as the truth comes out, it bears witness to itself. And to me, that's the best feel good thing there is when you talk to somebody about those things, and when they finally get a handle on it and they see it, it's not about my glory or anything like that, but it certainly makes you feel vindicated that God is still moving and that he's moving in that person's life, and that we're seeing that go on. And Christ spoke to the grassroots of his people. I mean, he was down there dealing with them, and he wasn't, they didn't kill him because he did everything they wanted done. They killed him because he was teaching a different way, because and you know, we know that it had to be done, but they hated him for that. You know, that he was saying whose name and whose superscription's on it, you know, and what were you thinking, Peter? And the people that he called out, Moses, Gideon, you know, Joshua, the list goes on and on and on throughout the Bible. They were not run-of-the-mill thinkers. They had ideas that were, what would you call it, controversial. You know, Joshua, hey, we can take them. We got God, you know, and everybody else is going, whoa, man, they're right. Huge, they're big, we're just like an ant to them, or you know, a grasshopper. These views were controversial, and so when you look at that kind of stuff, I think we're seeing that stirring up, that renewal these days again, you know, and it's going on, and recognition of the fact that, oh Lord, the reason we're here is because we didn't follow you, and we let ourselves get put in this position. You know, we gave them an inch, they took a mile, we made a deal, we should have stood firm. You know, we didn't stand on the Bible, instead we tried to stand on man's law. And, you know, those things, this is the result of that, you know, I mean, so, and that's what we're looking at right now. But all we got to do to get it straightened up is take it to the Father.
I want to read this thing I read in this magazine recently, if you'll let me. This guy, and I'm sure it's nothing we agree with. I'm going to read this. It's a man's life. He went to Butte, Montana. He took a train to northern Idaho, and he walked 300 miles to Butte, Montana. And anyway, I want you to hear what this guy said. Compressing such an exceptional life into such a short form is impossible. Father Russell offered a story during our interview that seems symbolic of the what made St. Sebastian, that's the man we're talking about, so special. While visiting in Chicago, St. Sebastian met a Serbian bishop named Nikolai, we'll forget that last name, now a canonized saint. The two got deep into the conversation. Father Nikolai invited Father Sebastian to lunch. Father Sebastian informed Father Nikolai that he would have to buy lunch because he had just spent his last nickel on a loaf of bread. That says, Sebastian told his bishop about his plans for opening parishes across the United States. Some Serbian, some Greek, some Russian, well, these are Orthodox Church, and so on. Father Sebastian said he needed to go overseas to acquire more priests to fill all the parishes he planned to build, and he presented a complex and expensive vision for his plan to baptize America. At the end of their talk, the bishop said, Father Sebastian, how do you plan to do that when you just spent your last nickel on a loaf of bread? Father Sebastian looked at the bishop, he says, in the eye and asked, don't you trust God? Now that takes vision.
Yes.
Don't you trust God? And that's the way we got to look at things. Yeah, we look helpless, but we're not. You know, you take the redheaded singer, you know, and all the things going on. It's just, you know, the people's out there. I mean, when you can shut down Bud Light and stuff like it did, they're out there. They're craving. And that's the weakness of a man. He wants a leader. But like you talked earlier, we should be, you know, we should be teachers instead of just still listening. People have not developed it. But I'm telling you, you don't need to be complicated. You know,
right.
Teach what sin is. Teach baptism for the remission of sin. You know, just like in Acts 2, they were pricked to the heart. These hearts are being pricked at this moment. And it's a really exciting time if you just look at it properly. But if I look at the falling of the building, you know, if I, you know, just like these folks in Oklahoma watch their house burn down, I mean, that's got to be devastating. But then, you know, I think if faith is right, something better will come. And then it's just really hard to see. And those are the shoes that we're sitting in right now. It looks like it's crumbling. But God's got a plan. You know, he preserveth the wicked for the day of destruction. That's also there. And there are two. There's God's people and there's devil's people. And that's what people don't know. They think, oh, yeah, we're all one. My brother used to say, oh, they just don't understand. I said, BS, they don't understand. They're evil, you know. And that, they just have a different heart. They're made different. And that has a purpose. But the thing of it is, we know who wins.
That's right.
America's not going anywhere. It's going to have a house cleaning big time. Because he has brought Israel across the Red Sea, across the Jordan River, through Europe, and hit to here. He's not going to abandon them. But he is going to spank us. And we need it. We need it real bad. So I think it's exciting times. That's where I'm at mentally. And I'm preaching to myself, actually. So anyway.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines again. Hey, good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. It's Suzanne from New York.
Good morning, Suzanne.
Yes, I'm on my way to work, so I don't know if I cut out or not, but I agree 100% with what Paul said. It's coming down to the nitty-gritty. Baptism for the remission of sin according to Acts 2:38, that is it. That's the doorway. That's the way in. Take it from there for anybody that wants. They don't around, pick up your heels, as we were taught by our wonderful preacher, Pastor Peter. He was a prophet, a man before his time. He is so needed right now, and people are so receptive now when you share the message of Pastor Peter with them now. More eyes are open, the hearts are opening up. There's, you know, all variety of people out there. It's hit and miss, but, you know, that's not up to me. That's for God and them to sort out. I just give the message as much as I can and enjoy when somebody comes to Christ in baptism. Yes, these are exciting times, and we are right at it. It's wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Well, Susanna, thank you for the call. God bless and safe travels. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. All over.
There's,
that's upstate New York right there.
Well, you know, when people, you talked about people, well, you got these troubles in your life and just stuff, it must be, you know, must be sinning or something. But you take a look at Pastor Peter's life. No, what's really going on, you're being corrected. You know, and that's the way he does it. If he ain't corrected you, I pity you. This is what's happened. We're being corrected. Blessed are my afflictions. And when you look at it that way, life is a whole different thing. And that's not Paul. That's Scripture.
That's right. That's right. The Scripture tells us we are being corrected, we're being perfected, we're being established, and those things don't come easy. You know, the Floyd earlier said, you know, you seek God first, not the pleasure first. You seek God first, and that's the proper order of things. Let's try the phone lines. I think we've got time for one more. Good evening. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for keeping the word going out there. And like the lady before, I think the older sermons from Pastor Peters and what he talked about is just as truth is just as relevant today as it was when he recorded them.
Amen.
It's pretty much matched today on what's going on still.
Amen. Where are you calling from this morning?
Oh, guys. I'm in Salisbury, North Carolina.
Salisbury, North Carolina. Awesome.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Amen. And I think that's because Pastor's teachings, he just pointed to the Word. You know, he would tell you, don't believe me. Look to the Word. Am I saying, am I telling you what the Word says. And, you know, the scripture, I never understood it before, where it says, have I become your enemy for telling you the truth? And pastor would say that. And to some people, yes. Yes. But they are enemies with the truth, if they're enemies because of that. And that's just how it is. It's the Word is there. It is truth. And you have a choice. The answer is there. The solution to the ills and the pains of this nation, nationally and individually, are there. It's just
a
choice.
The issue is, who gets to drive the bus? You or God?
Right.
That's what it's all about, you know. I mean, if you're proud and you want it your way and your thing, you're going to be offended by the Word. But if you're broken, humbled, and then baptized, that Word is precious to you. And it's an offense to their enemies and doubles, you know. And then you've got our people that are twice the sons of hell that have rejected it. And they're the most violent ones because they rejected it. And they know they could have the truth if they'd repent. But it's who drives the bus, you or God.
Amen.
Yeah, do you want to go on the trip or not? You know,
and where you want to go? Yeah, who you want driving the bus? I like how you put that, Paul. Because
you can, even if you just sit in the parking lot, it's better than being on their bus.
No kidding. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that as far as, go ahead, Paul.
All truths are simple. The gospel's simple. It really is. And the problem is we make it complicated.
Yeah, I hear that frequently. Well, that's too easy. Or what can one guy do, really? You know, and it's like, well, my favorite comeback to that is, well, Jesus Christ was just one guy. What did he do? When you're talking to someone who wants to, who claims to be a Christian, I can't think of a better comeback than that myself. But it's like, Jesus Christ was one person. What did he do? He changed the course of the entire world. You know, so what can you do if you're just one person and Christ is for you? You know, so I can do whatever he wants me to do.
Yeah. Well, I always said a 5-watt light bulb is awful bright in a real dark world. So you don't have to. Just simplicity of the gospel. Just do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Sure, thank you, men, for the encouragement that it's been for me. My battery's running about 102% right now. Sure got me encouraged, and I know it has for the remnant as well. That's sure what I hear and see in letters and emails. And so, men, thank you so much, and pray you have a blessed weekend, and everything you need to get done today, you get done.
Thank you.
And thanks again, guys. And Remnant, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting us here, allowing us to do this, to hopefully point you to the Word and help you point your friends and families and those in your circles to the Word of God as well. Because that is what saves, that and that alone. And so we invite you to join us for church tomorrow, Sunday morning, right there at the website, scriptures4america.org. And you can tune in 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll start off with a scriptural review. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth and then a new message for you. Give you the opportunity to partake of communion as well. So, and you can do that just right there on your computer. You can log in on your phone. I do that on my phone when we're there, just kind of to double check the audio and make sure everything's going through. And so, you can check it right there and join us on your smart device, as they call it. I don't know how smart they are, but That's what they call them. So, again, thanks. God bless. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.